If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text again in two places, one in 2 Timothy and the other in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. It's a joy to be back in his house again tonight. We appreciate the good music we've already heard. Appreciate Brother Jim and Carolyn singing for us tonight, down from his glory. We appreciate the good meal that Greta and Michelle fixed for us tonight. We appreciate their kindness in doing that. We began here yesterday and want to continue tonight looking at the various and sundry times that our God called Bible characters by their name twice. As I told you yesterday, when my mom and dad called my full name, John Thomas Gillum, it was not to congratulate me on a job well done. And whenever these names are called twice, it's not usually to congratulate. But it is to correct and guide. And a little verse that Paul shares in 2 Timothy about these calls, I call them the double name calls. He says in verse number 9, who have saved us. You'll notice it is in the past tense. The verb tense means that something has happened in the past that is guaranteeing something will happen in the future. He has saved us and called us. Once again, called is in the past. And something has happened in the past, guaranteeing future results. Since he's called us with a holy calling, that call to save us is salvation. This holy calling is sanctification. He's not left sanctification to luck and chance either. He says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. The question is, just exactly where did this call, this holy calling, this saving, this purpose, this grace, where did it originate? Paul said, which was given us in Christ Jesus. But when? It was a past action guaranteeing future results. When did it take place? Paul said it took place before the world began. The saving, the calling, the purpose, the holy calling, the grace, it all took place in eternity past. Yesterday morning we looked at Paul's experience on the road to Damascus when Jesus said, Saul, Saul, call to salvation. When did that call take place? Paul said it took place before the world began. So I'm only to believe that God stepped out upon the realm of nothing and cried out, Saul, Saul. And it come down through the galaxies of time, all of the millions of galaxies and stars, and finally landed upon Paul on the road to Damascus and lit his soul up. He's not left to chance and luck. Oh, no. And then we began last night to look at the times when there would be a call to sanctification. We began last night with Martha, Martha, called to service. We find that this holy calling that originated in the worlds beyond, it is not a call to doing something. Oh no, that's what we like, busy, busy for our Jesus. Oh no, it is a call to be somewhere. The only way we can leave a legacy for those to follow is spending much time at Jesus' feet. That's where we found her. Tonight we go to the 22nd chapter of Luke. I think I said 24. had 24 on my mind. I was studying it today. Sorry. Old people get things stuck in their mind, can't get them out. But beginning to read at verse 31, this is a call to Simon Peter. And it is the call to sifting. Did you know that God decided in eternity past, and he sent them on their way, all of the trials, tragedies, and difficulties that you're ever going to have? They're not arriving by chance. They're not arriving by luck. He has already sent them, and they shall arrive right on time. What in the world does he want to do that for? He says he wants to sift you. He says this, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I'm going to stop him. He doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. How could he stop him? He's already dispatched them in eternity past. He has called you, saved you with a holy calling. He has already dispatched all of the difficulties. They'll not arrive late. They'll not arrive early. They'll arrive right on time. He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, this is Peter talking, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, Jesus speaking, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, for thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. The call to sifting. Sifting tonight, knowing very well that God has dispatched trouble from eternity past, will land in our life right on time, should drive one to the Word and to prayer to equip them to go through sifting. Why should it drive us to the Word and prayer? Is the only thing that will take us through what our Lord is going to sling at us from eternity past, sifting us, making us more like him. But for Peter, it had the reversed effect. It drove him away from prayer and the Word. Say, I tell you, preacher, when it happens to me, I'll be in the book and I'll be on my knees. Peter wasn't. He failed miserably. Simon, Simon, called to sifting. As we begin to unpack the text tonight, I see Satan's demands for sifting. Verse 31, we are confronted with an awareness of Satan's demands. He says, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you. Christ is giving Peter a heads up. Hey, Peter! The devil's fixing to shake your world. If you have a strong relationship with this book and a strong relationship in prayer, he shall too give you a heads up. Because he knows he has already hurled them at you in eternity past. He knows when they're going to arrive. And he too will give you a heads up. He gave Simon a heads up, very clear. I thought it was interesting, the little word Simon is a little Greek word for listen. Listen! Listen! Simon's not listening anything. He says here in the text, behold, Satan. The word behold, to look with clear understanding. Satan, the accuser of the brethren day and night, has desired to have you. Strong relationship with the Bible. Strong relationship with prayer. The only thing that will take you through it. And it's not only the awareness of Satan's demands, but the account Satan's demands. He says in verse 31, Satan hath desired to want something with great intensity. To want it so bad you'll not do without it. Satan just cannot wait until he can see that final act of Christ in hurling trouble, difficulty into your life. Desires. He says he desires to have you that he may sift you. Sift is a Old Testament word of winnoweth and the barley. You remember Ruth that night, she went down to see Boaz. He had been winnoweth in the barley. He put the wheat sheet, throw it up in the night breezes. Let the winds blow through it. And it takes the chaff out, the counterfeit. The real wheat falls to the ground. He says, Simon, he says, Satan wants to throw you up in the winds of adversity. What in the world does he want to do that for? He wants to check the authenticity and see if you're real or not. He wants to test your faith. You say, well, doesn't the Lord know I have faith? Why, certainly he's the one give it to you before the world began. Yeah. Oh, what does he want to test it for? He wants you to see if you've got any or not. Yes, amen, Tom. Listen to me tonight. Satan's desire tonight is to throw you and I up in the winds of adversity to see if we're real. Sifting is the beginning of bread making. We must be ground tonight between the stones of sorrow and adversity before we can be bread to help others to Christ. There is a call to sifting. Paul told Timothy it was a holy calling. Preacher, you got any idea just exactly where the origin of that was? Yeah, Peter said in Christ. Do you have any idea when it was? He said, yeah, before the world began. Right. See, all of this stuff that's happening to you is not an accident. No, he planned the whole thing. Every trial, every sickness, every time a doctor tells you you got cancer, every time this happens, that happens, he planned it all. You say, I don't like that. Take it up with him if you ever see him. Here, Peter is getting a heads up. Heads up from the master that adversity and sifting is coming. Yet, he was a miserable failure in the middle of it all. I noticed not only in our text tonight the Satan's demands, But I notice the Savior's devotion tonight through sifting. I use that little word through because I believe it's so fitting tonight for the subject of sifting. I have found that most often, if not always, He never takes me out of my sifting. He is not one to come along and get you out of your jams. No. He's not one to take them away. But I find that He gets the most glory when He takes you through them. Especially if you shout your way through them. I notice the types of devotion. On three different occasions, you'd almost think God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is here. He says in verse 31, and the Lord said. Here's a word. Again in verse 33, and He said unto me. And again in verse 34, and He said. God is speaking. How am I going to get through my adversities? Only through a strong relationship with this book. Do not wait until He is throwing you up in the winds of adversity. It's hard to study a book when you're going up and down. The only thing you'll take in the dark is what you learned in the light. Are you listening to me tonight? Types of devotion. Not only a strong relationship with the Bible, but Jesus said in verse 32, but I have prayed for thee. You notice prayer tonight is a past action too. He says, I've prayed that your faith fail not. Writer of Hebrews says that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. What in the world is Jesus doing tonight while I'm going through my troubles? He's praying. Amen. For everybody? God forbid. I'm praying for everybody. He says He's praying for them that Thou hast given me. Make an intercession for them. Is that all He does? That's what He said. That's all I ever do. Matter of fact, He's been in a seated position for 2,000 years now. He's only gotten up twice. Got up for Stephen's homecoming. Gave him a standing ovation. Got up one night, went down to Paul in prison, spoke to him, come back, sat back down. It's the only thing I can understand. None of this crowd's got Him up. Huh? Bill and Hillary never got Him up. Oh, no. Old Boo-Boo never got Him up. The orange-haired man didn't get Him up. Sleepy Joe ain't got Him up. All that's going on in Israel, it got you up, but it ain't got Him up. He gets up again. He's coming. Well, what is He doing? I'm going through all of this. He planned it all. He says, I'm praying for you. Amen. So, not only must I have a strong relationship with the Bible, I must have a strong relationship with prayer. Now, this thing around the throne, there has been going on for eons of ages, is a big prayer meeting around the throne. Preacher, you got any idea how I can get in on this prayer meeting they're having around the throne tonight? Yeah, this is awful deep. I don't know if you can get to somebody way over your head. Here's how you can get in on it. Dear Jesus, and if you're in a hurry, just say Jesus. You're in the prayer meeting. Are you listening to me tonight? But see, you don't want to wait until you're getting thrown up in the winds of adversity and try to intensify your prayer life. Amen. You're going to be screaming more of oh me instead of oh him. Amen. types of devotion. I notice the target of the devotions. He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Very obvious to me that Peter must have had some faith. You can't have your faith fail if you don't have none. So our Lord knows he's got faith because he has given it to him. Deep, deep theological question. Where could you get faith, or if you needed some extra, because you're going through this time of difficulty and you sort of needed a faith booster, you have any idea where I could get some extra? Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you mean I ought to get me some gaither tapes? God forbid. I'm not alone with gaither. But you ain't going to get help from singing. You would get help from preaching. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once again, there's that thing of having a strong relationship with my Bible, strong relationship with prayer. He says, I pray that your faith fail not, to admit it, to cease, to leave it all, fall short of it. When you leave off days of getting alone with God, getting in the word of God, you just depend upon what you get over here. You don't get you any on the side. It's just meal. It's not meat, and it will not sustain you. And the sifting. He says that you fail not. He says, and when you are converted, the little word converted there is not the word for salvation, but it is the word maturity. He said, Peter, when you grow up, that's how God grows you up. Chunking trouble at you. He's already ordained it before time began, and that's the way he's going to grow you up, by chunking things at you. I was thinking about that. Many of you know that I fell a few weeks ago. And I fell on this side. And I cracked a rib on this side. She laughingly told me that it was because of all the weight that came down upon that side. But I've had the Lord whisper to me lately. He says, I'm going to keep you from falling, not physically. But he says, if you'll stay in the word in prayer, he says, I ain't going to let that happen to you spiritually. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm not going to let you trip up and embarrass yourself and fall in the floor spiritually, so to speak, and crack your spiritual ribs if you'll stay in the book. And stay in prayer. He says, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren, comfort them. Wonder tonight, what is your relationship with the word of God? Relationship with prayer. I notice last of all tonight, not only Satan's demands, Savior's devotion, but Simon's dumbness in sifting. See in verse 33, Peter's readiness is foolishness. He says to our Lord in verse 33, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Oh, what foolish statements we'll make tonight. We don't have a strong relationship with the book, a strong relationship with prayer. We'll make foolish statements when sifting comes. We'll do foolish things when sifting comes. We'll do crazy things like get out of church. Well, amen. I tell you, I just can't go over there. I just wore out. I'm so sick. I tell you, if you have to get on your hands and knees and crawl over here, you might get some help while you're over here. Are you listening to me? Huh? was thinking about foolish things people do when they're going through a dark hour. Peter said, you count on me, bud. I'm going to be there with you. Me and you going to do this together. I was thinking about dear preacher friend. He's been with y'all many times, Brother Larry Winkler. He's telling me not long ago he was in the Tennessee mountains. He's preaching one night, talking about people doing stupid things while they're going through trouble. And he said an old gal come forward. He said she's just convulsing at the altar, just weeping. Old Larry told me, he said, I got the feeling good. I said, man, I didn't know that sermon was going to do all of that. He said she went back to her seat, and he said a few minutes later, here she come again. He said she's weeping this time far worse than she was weeping before. And Larry said, boy, I really got the feeling good. Man, this thing had really touched her. He said she finally got her composure. She testified to the church. She said, y'all know I've been going through a dark time in my life. Real tragedies. She said this morning on the way to work, she said, I heard on the radio Elvis singing a hunk of burning love, and it helped me so much during this tragedy. I'd say she wouldn't know God if he come by on a fire truck. No strong relationship with this book. No strong relationship with prayer. Make you do stupid and foolish things. In the middle of your sifting, Peter's readiness. But I notice Christ's rooster is foretelling. Verse 34, he says, and I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice. Three times you'll say, I don't know this blankety blank Jew. And it happened just as the Lord said it would happen. But all tonight, long before sifting comes, long before those things that God has ordained in eternity past to be sent your way, they're coming, ready or not, here they come. But all we can prepare ourselves, having a strong relationship with the Bible, strong relationship with prayer. I was thinking about old Job again today. Man, old Job's in the sifter, wasn't he? And he flipped a tassel on a PhD in trouble. He wrote his thesis on trouble. Job didn't understand a lot of the things that were happening to him. He didn't see them coming. God had dispatched them, but he didn't know. He didn't see all that coming. He didn't know that in one day he would lose all of his kids. He didn't know that one day he would be moved from being a wealthy, filthy rich to being a pauper. Didn't know. Didn't know he's going to lose his health. And he was a strapping man. He had a big plantation. He probably worked hard. He didn't know that in one day he was going where he was strengthless. Certainly didn't know his wife was going to tell him, cuss God and die. And you know, he could have zeroed in on all of that. He said, man, God has dealt me a bad hand. Instead of zeroing in on what he didn't know, he decided to zero in on what he did know. Of course, Job's the oldest book in the Bible. And Job wasn't as experienced as y'all. Job said he didn't know but four things. Yeah. That's all he does. But he says, I'm going to hang on to thee. He says, number one, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. In order to be a Redeemer, you must die for someone and pay a price. So this Redeemer of his, he has seen him die, and now he is alive again. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, he has already seen Jesus die and come back from the grave. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that one day he shall stand upon the earth. Job done seen clear past Holly Springs. He sees him. He's done looked past Hamas and the Gaza Strip and everything. He's done seen him setting his feet back down on the Mount of Olives. He says, I know that. Yeah. He says, I know if the worms eat my body, he says, I'm going to get back in my body and I'm going to see God. He said, I do know that. Then he said in John 42, he says, I know that you know all things. He says, those are the four things I know. That was his relationship with this book. He had a strong, he didn't know but four things out of this book that would be the word of God to him. But he knew those well. And I can't help but believe that he knew how to pray. Because God told his three friends that had eat his hide, blaming his problems on the sin that was in his life. He told the three of them, he said, go down there to Job's house and knock on the door and ask him if he would pray for y'all before you go back home. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Strong relationship with the Word of God. Strong relationship with prayer. David said it well when he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He says, because of your word, that through judgment you have showed me your faithfulness. He says, my heart standeth in awe of your word. I wonder tonight, do you have a strong relationship with this book? Strong relationship with this prayer. See, you're not going to stop the sifting. You can't. You remember that now. It was dispatched before time began. All of your troubles, they're coming. They may come quick. He may have some intervals in between them. The older you get, seems like the quicker they come. But they're coming. And the only thing that'll take you through it, strong relationship with, and the thing about it is you don't know when they come. Oh, they come suddenly without any warning. But if you're in the book, deep in prayer, oftentimes he'll give you a heads up. Maybe you say tonight, preacher, I don't have any relationship with the Bible. I don't have any relationship with prayer. I'm lost. I beg you tonight, long before the sifting comes, may drive you to take your life, drive you to do something foolish. I beg you, bow to his lordship. I beg you tonight, you that are playing church, you think you get enough over here. No need of having it over there. No need of getting your family together at night and praying with the kids and reading the Bible to them. There's no need when the grandchildren come over to the house. We'll just play with them. There's no need of praying with them and reading the Bible with them before they go to bed. There's no need in that. Yes, there is. Prepare the hearts for sifting, for standing tonight. Heads are bowed. Preacher doesn't mind. I'm going to ask Brother Jim if he'd come back around and sing again. Always has a unusual way of finding the right song to PS the sermon. As we wait in his presence tonight. Preacher, I know I'm saved tonight, but oh, I've had such a weak relationship with my Bible. On and off, on and off, on and off. I've had a weak relationship with an ongoing conversation with the Lord. Preacher, I need to beef that up tonight. You have convinced me from the Bible that sifting is coming. The only way I'm going to get through it. Some of you are already in the middle of it. You know you are. Sifting has begun. Maybe tonight, while Brother Jim sings, maybe you'd find yourself at this altar. If you're lost tonight, good place to get. Ask God to save your soul before sifting gets out of reach for you, out of your control. God's speaking tonight. Said to Simon, listen, listen. Maybe wanting to prepare you tonight for some sifting that's coming. She sings, altar's open. You come.
Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make whole my wants and my wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petitions bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word.
You know if he's touched your heart. You know if he's spoken a word to you tonight. Y'all listen.
I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escape the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer.